Rocking the V Friends shirt today. I am here for a special edition of What Did Adam Say? Episode 16 of Season 4. We're about to be wrapping up the year. Just a reminder, next week I do not have a guest. I'm going to be doing a solo show. I haven't really done too many of those. It's a special challenge when you do a solo show. And I kind of want to just do it about, you know, the lessons I've learned over the past year plus, especially in business and especially in crypto. So tonight, I have one of my best friends on the show, Spencer. We met in 2003, I think, maybe even four, somewhere in that range. We met on MSN chat rooms, battle rapping each other, and it's going to be a fun show. We've been through a lot together, and we've both seen each other grow a lot as men and human beings, and it's going to be a blast. So make sure you tune in, make sure you share this, and let's fucking go.
What am I doing? Created a movement, won't ruin what you are pursuing. But I wake up every morning, never yawning, cause I
wake up with the intent to make the day my bitch. And I don't need it, you talking, so just shut your lips. Cause I'ma make it, yeah, I'ma make it, I'ma make it, I'ma make it. Lord have mercy, I'ma make it. I wake up with the intent to make the day my bitch. And I don't need it, you talking, so just shut your lips. I'ma make it. Yeah, I'ma make it, I'ma make it, I'ma make it. Lord have mercy, I'ma make it.
This shit is crazy, right?
This shit is crazy. This shit is definitely crazy because it's been far too long since we've had a long form conversation, brother. How the hell are you?
Absolutely, man. I'm wonderful. Just doing the Christmas thing, enjoying the festivities and whatnot, hanging out with family, you know. Yeah, just kicking it, man. It's always good to hear from you, you know.
Yeah, bro. I don't get to see a lot of what you're doing because you don't post on social like the way I do. So I'm excited. I'm excited about, well, I'm terrible about posting it. Like, I feel like I overpost sometimes, but
I love it because I get to keep in touch this way. Like, I was like going through through like your YouTube the other day and jamming music and like listening, catching up on the podcast. And I actually appreciate the overpost because I'm not on social media very often. And so when I get on social media, you know, that makes sure I don't miss a post.
She just took a tumble.
Oh,
you okay?
Here we go. You doing all right?
She's like, wait a second. I don't know if I like that. Did you hurt yourself? You okay? You hit your head?
Mm-hmm. Oh, give my head a time or two.
Don't do that too much. You're gonna end up like Dada.
Yeah.
I don't know what she was doing. She just fell off the bed. She said she hit her head. Aww. My poor babe.
Hell yeah. It takes a village, man. It takes a village.
I just heard a thump. All right. I'm posting on fucking Twitter and I can't talk and type it.
Multitasking. Bro.
But hell yeah. Dude, thank you. Thank you, Sarah. Rocking the V-Fan shirt. I can't wait to get my free one too. Maybe I'll flip it. Maybe not.
The V-Friends shirt. I'm seeing all the stuff you're doing with V-Friends. Seems like you, got in early. I know you've been rocking with Gary V for a long time anyway. So,
Yeah, man.
Yeah,
Sense. It's been 2016. I think I discovered him. 2017 is when it all clicked. And like, that's the year I went on my own and just started my own business and everything. And it's just like, that's when I decided to not work a job. I mean, I am again now, but I didn't for 4.5 years, 5.5 years, something like that.
Some of these jobs are offering right now. It's hard to say no.
Dude, yeah, I'm working at fucking a mattress store right now, dude. They pay me $21 an hour plus commission to just sit there.
That was unheard of a couple years ago.
Facts.
Yeah.
Like, and no they don't care if I work on my business while I'm there. They don't care what I do as long as I sell.
Yeah, they're like, yo, we just want somebody here selling mattresses, bro. Help, please.
Facts.
Yeah. I've been doing the same thing. So I work full time at a college now teaching.
Oh wow.
Yeah, full time. So it's a lot of work, man. I used to hate on my teachers a lot, like, what do you do, man? Quit riding me. You just like, yeah, and now I'm like, I get it. Yeah. Like, I used to be the kid that was late to class, but I still had an A, you know, and I'm like, I can't understand why they're mad at me. Well,
right.
I get it because I got to repeat myself all the time. Just because you got an A you're late. And I got to say the same thing I just said to everybody else. I got to say to you now. And it's like, mm-hmm. man, I hate talking, saying the same thing twice.
What are you teaching? Are you teaching?
I teach like 8 different classes, but I teach, it's all basically in the manufacturing side of the world. So I teach people to use CNC machines, teach computer aided design, computer aided machining. I do teach how to use precision measurement tools and all kinds of other nerdy stuff like that. But yeah, that's what I got my degree in. And then I was going back to school for education because I do the nonprofit thing, and I ended up doing a lot of teaching there just like on the side. And it's for anybody watching, is a makerspace. If you don't know what that is, it's like best way to explain it is like how you can get a membership to a gym, you know, and they got all this workout equipment and stuff that you can't really afford.
Yep.
It's the same type of thing, except instead of workout equipment, it's like 3D printers, laser cutters and stuff to help people like make stuff. Our goal is to like help people start businesses and things like that. So we've got a couple success stories out there. So it's good for us, but that's what my nonprofit does. And basically, I had found myself teaching a lot in that nonprofit, like teaching people to use the laser or use the 3D printer or whatever, and coming up with curriculum and whatnot. And I thought to myself, I kind of like this teaching thing. So I was going to go back to school for teaching, education degree. And my college professor saw me out there and said, "What are you doing out here? You going back to school?" And I was like, "Yeah." She said, "What for?" And I was like, "Well, I was thinking for teaching." She said, "Well, if you want to teach, I got a job for you." And I was like, "Oh yeah." And she started me out as an adjunct teacher at the college a couple years ago, and teaching the night class for machining, which is what my degree's in. And I did that for a while. And then eventually when she resigned from teaching last year, and I guess I got her position. So
It just all, so that's what Forge Makerspace is then, is like your nonprofit essentially to.
Yeah.
That's so far.
It's cool, man. Like, we've got a couple, like, bro, Jason, if you ever watch this, don't kill me, but I'm going to tell you a secret. This dude come into Forge Makerspace, like, I basically laughed at him, like, not to his face, but I was like, I don't understand what this guy wants to do, right? So he shows up, doesn't know anything about laser cutters or 3D printing or anything, really. He has this idea. He wants to create like props for like people that go to Comic-Con or like cosplay type stuff, right? He wants to make like magic wands and crystal knives. And I was like, all right, bro. All right, man. So he gives me this little, I watch his presentation and he's dressed up like a wizard, like pointy hat, everything. And he goes over his business proposal, which is like talking about how much he can sell these for, how much they're going to cost to make, blah blah blah. And the panel of judges voted him as one of the winners, and I was like, you guys can't be serious. But I was like, whatever, yeah, that's my job, so I'll teach him how to use the stuff, and we'll get him set up. So I teach him how to use the laser, teach him how to use the 3D printer. He goes on by himself and learns how to do like casting and whatnot. And I shit you not, this was less than a year ago. Today, he has his own business. He owns 5 or 6 of his own lasers, has 18 employees. And this dude doesn't work a normal job. This is his job. This is his business. And he makes money, bro. And
that's so fire. What's like, up, Ebenezer?
I laughed at him when he came in. I call him the wizard. And like, I was like, oh, you guys got the wizard coming in here? Like, I'm like, okay. But bro, you know, just because something that I've learned along the way is just because I don't understand somebody's business doesn't mean that
it's not good or going to work.
Yeah, exactly. And not only that, I'm like, all right, I'm the simpleton here. Like, I'm just going to teach you to use the laser cutter. Now that he's got that skill, he can take that. And like I said, he built a very successful business based on that knowledge. And he actually comes back and visits the makerspace and helps us learn new stuff on the laser. Like, he's like, oh, come check this thing out that I've learned about, you know, like I said, he's got like 5 or 6 lasers, and every time he learns something new, he comes back and teaches us. And so I'm like, oh, cool. And then I just add that to the list of stuff to, you know, teach people. And That's just one of our success stories. We got a couple. So it's a good thing for us as a nonprofit to help people build businesses, stimulate that economy, help people get that freedom that they want from their own business. So I should say freedom, because when you have your own business, you end up working a lot.
Yeah, there's on Instagram and on what the hell is it called? TikTok. There's a thing that's like, I didn't want to work for somebody else working a 9-to-5. So I decided to work for myself. And now I work 24 hours a day. Fuck.
exactly. So you true, of all dude. People know. You know that's true.
Yeah, bro. And I just, like I said, I just picked up a full-time job. I have my CBD business. I have the environmental research company. And then the NFT project, it wasn't anticipated to be another business, but it's like we're already planning for 10 and 25 years down the line on it. It's like, okay, I guess I'm doing this for life now too.
Yeah. Hey, man, that's how it works. And NFTs are cool, man. I think there's a lot of hype in the space too. Like, I think NFTs are a really interesting use case of technology. And I think that just like other things we've seen in the past, 99% is garbage. But the 1% that works out will work out very well for a lot of people. And I think that we're going to see use cases for NFTs beyond what we're seeing right now. Like we see like art projects, pictures, collectible items, things like that. But I think we're going to see things that we haven't even thought of yet that we're going to use that non-fungible aspect of a digital piece of property. I mean, there's a lot of possibilities there.
Yeah, I'm trying to, with version 2 of my project, I'm trying to make it so I can give land ownership to certain token holders that hold X amount of tokens or a certain token. And then like my rare token holders from version 1, you know, I'll be able to hook them up major and hopefully get them some land just part of that for owning that. So
sick.
It's like now I have to like work backwards, right? So I have to like find the land, see how much the budget is, figure out how much I need to raise, then how many tokens I need. Then I need to talk to a lawyer and be like, how the fuck do I buy land with NFTs?
Or how do you split up the ownership into, you know, however many different pieces?
Well, so right? I have an idea. And the idea is to make it into...
Into a trust. This is how you do it. You put it into a trust, and the trust beneficiaries are the owners of the NFTs, and they may have to identify themselves unless you build this trust in the Cayman Islands, something like that. But
make it a DAO.
Yeah, exactly. You got a decentralized autonomous organization. So one of the first in the world, actually, I think the first example of a DAO in the world would be probably the Dash.
Oh, dude, from like 2013, right?
Or even before that. But yeah, Dash used to be called Dartcoin way back in the day, but very first example of a DAO in the wild and still running successfully today. And these guys actually have something that I used to work for called the Dash Investment Fund, which is the first of its kind as well. It's an ownerless, memberless investment fund. So there are no beneficiaries. What they do is invest this money in companies, real companies. So this decentralized network owns property and stake in companies and whatnot. And then they buy, what they do with their profits is essentially buy back tokens off the open market and burn them. So then everybody that owns Dash gets a boost from essentially deflation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of like semi a rug pull.
It's like the opposite. I don't know. It's hard to explain, but essentially it's like, if you buy the tokens back on the open market and then destroy them, the supply goes down. And if the supply goes down, but the market cap stays the same, then the price goes up. So.
Yeah, I guess so. It's kind of like weeding out the paper hands. You find the paper hands people and you buy up their shit and then you burn it and all the people that held get rewarded.
Exactly. It's exactly how it works. And that's the Dash Investment Fund, but that's funded by the DAO. So the DAO gives money to the investment fund to make these investments. And then they in turn buy back open market Dash and then destroy it. It's really crazy concept. So DAO is a definite possibility. And now there's DAOs for like everything. I mean, like Shapeshift is the world's first decentralized.
There's a VFAM DAO. So like they came together. I don't know if you do you know what Christie's is? The auction house?
No.
So it's like it's I didn't know about it until Gary V either, because I'm not rich. That's why we don't know about it. So the Christie's is like a prestigious art gallery that sells art. You know, like they sell Banksy and all these guys, you know. Sure. Gary V had his V Friends art there. That's his cool. his little doodles, as people want to call them. And so the VFAM DAO came together and pooled their money to buy two out of the four drawings that were there.
That's
for
cool.
the VFAM DAO. And then I think with the rest of the money, they bought VFriends, if I'm like the NFT, if I'm not mistaken. I definitely should have got in on that DAO. That was a fuck up on my part. Because it's
so
closed
the way DAOs
now.
Work, usually you should still be able to get in, but the price might be.
Yeah, it's a little different. Yesterday's price ain't today's price.
That's right. I mean, it's an interesting world of crypto stuff, man. I've been in crypto back in 2010 when it was just Bitcoin. And
yeah.
Now there's thousands of projects, and it's crazy to kind of see it all unfold. And, you know, not only have I been involved in it, but I'm, you know, as a software developer, been like, trying to help push that envelope as far as what's possible and see where we can break things. And
if you've ever watched any of my content or listened to me talk about my story of crypto, and you've heard me talk about how I could have bought Bitcoin for like $1 or $2, this is the guy. This is the one who was like, bro, you need to do this. And I'm like, what am I going to do with it? What can I buy with it? He's like, oh, I think you can get like Papa John's with it right now. And I'm like, well, I don't know, man. What the fuck? Right. I'm going to spend all my money on Papa John's.
I've made some purchases. I bought a pizza for a lot of Bitcoin. I bought a t-shirt for like 1,000 Bitcoin.
That's right. Thinking back to it, you're like, yo, I paid fucking $7 million for this t-shirt. Like,
yeah. I wonder what that would actually be. Like today's money.
7,000 times 46,000 is 46 million. Yeah, 1,000 Bitcoin is 46 million, I think.
Ouch. Oh, ow.
He's like, I've never done that math. Fuck.
Yeah, I have it on purpose, but
yeah, it is. I'm right. I checked it with my calculator. Okay, that's yeah. Like I thought my little $5 million. Was bad to lose out on for not spending $100. And then didn't you create your own coin?
No, I've created my own coin in a weird, like just messing around a couple times, but never like launched it like public purchase. I've like programmed, but never actually like launched my own. But I've been involved with a lot of coins that are very large today from the time they were very small. So like Dash being one of those. I was in Dash shortly after it rebranded from Darkcoin to Dash, and Dash was like fucking like $3 a piece or something, and now it's probably $200 or $100. I don't even know what it is right now.
Yeah, insanity. Wasn't there a DAI token?
Yeah, DAI is a decentralized stable coin, so it's always worth $1 or supposedly. I mean, it's bounced a little bit here and there, but it's soft peg at $1, and it's based on Ethereum. So it uses collateral to try to maintain its peg, so it uses something to back it. It's a pretty complex mechanism, but essentially when it first launched, it was only Ethereum as the collateral, and now it's used to be called single. Well, it used to just be called DAI. Then they had to rename the first original contract to single collateral DAI, and now it's multi-collateral DAI, but they just call it DAI. But now there's other things backing it, like basic attention token and basically lots of ERC-20 tokens, which are all built on ETH. ETH is getting very expensive. Olympus, what does that mean? Is that something you're supposed to recognize?
I was thinking the same thing. Do you have any NFTs?
Yeah, I've got a couple. I've minted a couple.
Have you?
You're not good. Yeah, I've minted a couple. I'm not an artist in that way. So, like, I don't think any of them have sold. I haven't even looked. I minted them like probably 6 months ago. I haven't looked since, but I don't think that they've sold at all.
Where'd you mint on OpenSea?
No. I actually minted them on a different network doing some experimentation with other NFT networks because ETH is pretty expensive to do things on. I actually do have one minted on ETH. I think it's on Rarible.
Yeah, I got to look into more different platforms, especially for my sake, right? Like my whole project is about sequestering carbon and offsetting our carbon imprint. And if I'm creating a ton of NFTs, I'm fucking that all up.
Should I sign in with?
Okay. So Ohm is backed by DAI, which is the currency of Olympus.
Ohm is back. Oh, it is Ohm a stable coin, like a pegged asset as well? I'm not positive on that.
Thank you, Slay.
My Coinbase.
Yeah, I'm actually not sure on that at all. Here's the thing. In May, I was like 5 months into, okay, I'm fully going into cryptocurrency now. I've made too many mistakes. And then May happened and I got the VFriend and life became NFT. It was just like, wow, I really like this space a lot. Like I understand charts. I like reading charts. I like the numbers aspect of it, but that doesn't go away with NFTs. Like I could still watch that and then figure out, you know, when they come out with different coins that will be able to sell NFTs through, which ones are the best ones to do it through.
Yeah. There's a lot of useful things. I mean, besides NFTs, but as far as networks for NFTs go, ETH obviously is a staple. It's first and foremost the pioneer, right? But it's kind of expensive to do things on. So other networks have tried to come along. Some ones that I like are like Flow is really good. It's relatively quick and inexpensive. Tezos is cool. If you look at Hive at all, which is also its main thing is it's a decentralized like social media platform. But they also do NFTs and I think Hive has no fees at all. I think it's free to transact on Hive. And instant as well. They have a different consensus algorithm than a lot of chains. They use what's called DPoS, delegated proof of stake. It's a whole, I don't want to go down the nerd rabbit hole. Nobody really wants me to, but I will, but I don't want to.
He's like, I'm not with it. Do you think there's a way to, I know like Ethereum 2.0 is coming out. Does that still tie into the same thing? And does that make it less expensive to do?
Yes and no. So Ethereum 2.0, its purpose is just to change its consensus algorithm from proof of work to proof of stake. So what that means is basically there's no more miners, like no more equipment mining. Like right now, Ethereum uses GPUs, the graphics cards, to mine Ethereum, right? And so when they switch from the proof of work algorithm, which the consensus algorithm, its whole job is just to figure out how to make people agree, decide who gets to publish the next like block and who gets the reward. And so that algorithm can be done in tons of different ways. Right now it uses proof of work. What that means is you've got miners like solving equations, hashing actually. And then whoever comes up with the answer first wins the right to publish the block. And then that person gets the reward, but it's very energy intensive. So they're working on moving to an algorithm called proof of stake. And what this does is you essentially take ETH that you own and you lock it. And it's at risk of what's called in ETH 2.0 is called slashing. So if you're dishonest, you can lose your ETH that you have locked in it's essentially at stake, right? So it takes, I think in ETH 2.0, 32 ETH to be a validator, which is essentially the new term for miners, but you're not mining, you're validating. So, but anyway, going too far down the nerd path here, but ETH 2.0's whole purpose is just changing the consensus algorithm so that it's more environment friendly. And theoretically, they could process a few more transactions per second, but not really going to get it anywhere close to the number that it needs to in order for that price to come down. So there's a separate strategy being pursued for scalability, which Scalability just means the ability to process more transactions at a time. And when you can process more transactions at a time, you can charge less for those transactions, essentially.
Yeah, because it gets cheaper.
Yeah,
the more you can do.
The more space that there is, the less you charge to get in, basically. It's like, think of a bus, right? If my bus route takes me from my house to Walmart or whatever, and that bus is constantly maxed out with people every day, they just raise the price of the ticket, right? But if the bus was twice as big, but the same amount of people got on, price of the tickets go down because they're like, we want to fill this bus, yep. Right? The goal is to always have a full bus, but you don't want a line. You want to have a full bus, but a perfectly full bus. Then you can charge the amount that it takes to get on the bus.
Basic weird, supply and demand.
But yeah. Yeah.
It makes perfect sense, though. Like, I do think that's like one of my major concerns is just the environmental impact. But I was actually watching somebody today that was saying that that's kind of not true. Like, they were saying that, you know, a lot of these major miners are powered off a solar grid, you know, like
that's part of it. But the major part of it, there's not that many powered off solar. There's quite a bit. But the real part of it is it takes an understanding of how the power grid works to understand if they're actually wasting energy. So most mining is actually done off excess energy. And so how the power grid works is there are power companies. They generate electricity all day, every day, right? Whatever's not used, they can't store it. It's not like they store it in batteries and then they send it out when you're ready. They're just generating it as it's being used, right? Mm-hmm. And so whatever isn't used is essentially lost. So they try to plan out how much energy that they need throughout a day. That's why energy is cheaper at night. Like, yep. You ever heard of like the Tesla battery? Like, what it does will charge your car at off-peak hours. So if peak hours cost you 15 cents a kilowatt hour, off-peak hours are 6 cents a kilowatt hour or 9 cents or whatever, because the power company has excess power. They're like, I don't know what to do with this. We're just going to waste it. I'd rather sell it for less than to just let it go to waste. So larger mining companies make deals with power companies and say, hey, we will use however much excess power you have at this price, and then we'll pay for the rest. And that's what they do. And so, yes, it uses tons of energy, but that energy is being generated regardless of whether it's being used or not. So a lot of times it just gets thrown away, but mining has found a way to come along and use that excess energy. Does it use more than excess energy? Sometimes, yes. It just depends on the deals that are put in place. So people are not wrong when they say that it uses, you know, this much energy, enough to power a country or more than whatever, whatever. They're not wrong, but.
But so does the banking system.
You don't understand how the power grid works. They don't really, they're not using energy that could be used by another country. Like it's energy that's going to be thrown away. It's generated regardless.
Yeah. And plus one of the things I learned from that video was that the banking system, traditional banking system uses just in the US alone uses more energy than all of crypto does worldwide.
That's probably true.
So I didn't even realize, like, I never even thought how much of an environmental impact it is for them to transact the way they do and how many systems they must have in place to back that up.
Yeah. And I mean, we can always be better, right? Like right now, proof of work is a proven algorithm. We know that it works and it works well and that it's secure if you have the highest hashing power of that algorithm. Yep. We know that's true. We don't know about proof of stake, but it doesn't hurt to research. And that's what ETH has been doing all these years. And they think that they're ready. They're ready to move over. That's the plan, right? So kudos to them. If we can use less energy, let's do it, you know? But we want to make sure that it's secure and then it can be done the right way. And that's why the hesitancy to move to a different algorithm. And there are other, man, there are thousands of projects all trying different things. Proof of work, proof of stake, proof of stake time. There's delegated proof of stake, which what I was talking about with the different blockchain. Now there's trade-offs all the time. So like, for example, in a delegated proof of stake, and I'm not trying to get too deep into the weeds for you guys, but delegated proof of stake.
We're already there.
Yeah. Delegated proof of stake is an algorithm that allows a blockchain to transact a lot of transactions at once, and not only cheaply, but free. So free, instant, and secure, but where they sacrifice is a little bit in the decentralization category. And actually, not even a little bit. They sacrifice a lot. So whereas Bitcoin or Ethereum have thousands of nodes that keep this network from being consolidated to one group of people, delegated proof of stake has went ahead and said, look, we're going to pick 21 people. You vote them in and out, but we pick 21 people to run the entire blockchain. Now, this person, if they're not doing what they're supposed to, everybody who owns coins can vote that person out. So they have 100 or 200 nodes on standby. And anytime one's not doing what they're supposed to, they get voted out. Another one gets voted in. They went ahead and said, okay, we're starting to see centralization in mining for Bitcoin because there are several large mining pools, just a few, right? Same with Ethereum. They're starting to see centralization in that area. So what they said is this research team, eventually they said, look, all algorithms lead to centralization eventually. So we're going to go ahead and go there first. We're going to centralize it, but we're going to put in a mechanism that allows us to move the people that are in those positions, like voting, like a democracy kind of deal.
Yeah. Like a board.
Yeah. Like a board. Exactly. So, and they call them witnesses because that's what they do. They just witness the transactions, stamp them and move them along. And that's why they're able to process so many so quickly and basically for free. So,
so it's being improved. Like, that's the thing that's like crazy about all of cryptocurrency is it's a baby. It's like not even a baby yet. It's still like semen inside of somebody's sack. Yes, like it's
absolutely,
it's so brand new. Like people don't even realize.
Yeah. The things that are being like researched, like the things that are being implemented are still brand new, let alone the things that are being researched. There's different cryptographic things that are being invented all the time that some, like there are some blockchain projects whose goal is privacy. We don't want to see anything, like it's private, 100% secure. And then there's others whose goal is speed. And there's others whose goal is like, their goals are all different. Everybody wants what they call the Trinity in blockchain. And that's decentralized, fast and cheap. And security's in there too. But those are the things that everybody wants, but they always find that in when you gain in one area, you have to give in one of the others. It's like, it's hard to get all three. And that's what people are working on. And I mean, we'll get there someday.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just improvements. And like, I can only, man, I wish I could talk to like a group of miners and just see what's going on in the background. Like somebody that really knows what they're doing. Cause like I have a buddy that mines Ethereum, but he's only getting like, I think he's only mined one Ethereum so far, even with like 10 computers or whatever he has. Yeah. Like it's a big process. So, I would love to talk to like miners that are doing thousands of Ethereum a day. Like,
I don't know if there's many that are actually doing that much a day. I mean,
yeah,
if there's probably pools that are doing that much in a day, but then they split it amongst 10,000 participants or whatever.
Is it a limit? Is there a limit on Ethereum like there is for Bitcoin?
Not yet. They've been talking about putting one in, and then there was one of the more controversial Ethereum improvement proposals. They're called EIPs. So that's like when you see like, when you talk about like, well, never mind. This is too nerdy, but they have EIPs, Ethereum Improvement Proposals, sorry, I'm blanking. What the fuck are we talking about? Oh, cap, supply cap.
Yeah,
I read the comment and my brain went off track.
Same, honestly. I have an excuse. I mean, we did smoke a lot of weed back in the day together, but that was a long time ago, brother.
No, I mean, what are you talking about? That's never happened.
never once.
So
pop one marijuana.
So yeah, the cap, they put in one recently that they're talking, it's actually, I think it's activated, but a certain amount of the fees being paid are being burned, destroyed. So the supply goes down, but then they have inflation that through mining. So that supply goes up and it's supposed to balance each other out. We haven't seen whether that's really happened yet. It's going to happen. Yeah. Thank you, Serendipity. That's a cool name. Took me a minute to read it, but yeah, the cap. That's a reminder there. Cap.
The cap. When you said that, I was like,
So if you guys don't know, one of my nicknames I go by back when Adam and I met each other was Cap. So everybody knows me as Cap. And so it's ironic that Cap forgot about the Cap.
Cap forgot about Cap. Yeah, but what's your before?
My socials, I am at Kodaxdev, D-E-V, at Kodaxdev on Twitter.
It's two X's, right?
Yeah, Kodaxxdev, at Kodaxdev on Twitter. I don't know if I have any other socials. I mean, I have a YouTube, but I don't like put videos on there. I have a Facebook, but I don't ever use it. I have an Instagram. My Instagram is, I'm going to look at it right now. My Instagram is, I have two, Young Capo. That's my Instagram. And then I have It's _ Cap for my music stuff, which I don't ever put anything on there either. So.
Yeah, he's like, I'm mostly just on Twitter, so just follow me there.
Yeah, Twitter. Follow me on Twitter.
I've been going heavy on Twitter, dude. Like, I used to not. I kind of had a bad taste in my mouth, right? So I worked with a mutual friend that we know that was doing Twitter promotions back in the day.
Okay.
And realistically, I'm pretty sure they were just buying fake follows and shit.
You don't feel like dragging her name through the mud right now or what? I'm curious who this person is.
No, I wouldn't do that. I'll tell you off air. Because I still have a lot of love for this person. I just think that they didn't know what they were doing properly.
We got a chat, so it's all good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I was switched over to the comments section for a while. It's like, I didn't realize I could read all the comments.
Yeah.
I don't get a respond to them, but I can read. I mean, I guess I can respond vocally.
But so I was up to 15,000 followers on Twitter, but I'm pretty sure it was all fake because I got like 2 likes on everything I would post. You know, like, so it fortunately, Twitter got rid of a lot of the fake accounts. So I was down to like 3,000, maybe 2,500 that like were real followers. Cause what happens is you like buy 5,000 and then people see you have followers. So they follow you.
Right.
And so I had real people in there, not active people. And then in the past 4 months, I think I've gone up 3,000 followers. No, not 3,000. What am I? I'm at 4,000. So I went up like 1,500 followers.
That's not bad.
It's crazy.
I don't even know how many follow. I got 400 followers, 420. I don't do. That's the thing. I check, like, every time I get on a podcast, people are like, "What are your socials?" And I tell them, but I'm like, "You follow me. This is what you're gonna see: random crypto stuff, rap battle stuff. Like, it's my personal Twitter, and I don't have like a thing. Like, everybody has a thing, right? People that get lots of followers, they have a thing, and that's why people follow them. Mine is like random crypto stuff. So I'm not like an ETH guy. I'm not a Bitcoin guy. I'm not a Dash guy. I'm an everything guy. So I post everything. And then I also, and then I share my friends' shit, and I post a lot of rap battle stuff. So if you don't like rap battles and crypto and disc golf and all the other random shit I post, like, it's my personal account. So if you want to follow me, cool. But you probably mute me eventually. You're gonna be like, look, I don't care about disc golf, dude. Why do I follow
you? I don't care about disc golf. What are we doing here?
Yeah, you're gonna be like, airsoft, paintball? Why do I follow this person?
I like that. Don't get old, but keep getting older. I just was looking at your Twitter. Dude, so you just went on a little music tour with Dylan.
Yeah,
are you like actively making music again? What's going on?
No.
Why not? Like, everybody's doing it. Literally everybody, dude. Casher, Organic, me.
Yeah, Busy, made a couple songs. Freely. I made a couple songs and I wrote them and didn't record them. So here's what happened. A couple things. So first, I broke up with Annalyn a year ago or whatever, maybe a little more than that now. But anyway, we broke up. I don't drink anymore. You know that, right? So this was like one of the first things in my life that I had to deal with, figure out how to cope with without alcohol. So I was like, I don't know what to do. So I was trying to think like back before I was a fucking alcoholic, you know, I mean, I did record some of them, but I didn't mix them, release them, nothing like that. I like on the phone type recorded, you know, and made a bunch of songs. I sent them to like my brother and Dylan, but like, more of just like, once you write something, you have to like get it out somehow, but I didn't really want to get it out, you know, sent it to my brother. Well, my brother's working on this project. I'll shout him out real quick if you don't mind, but
yeah, go for it.
I think he is at Official MCTV on Twitter, but he does, he's putting together a couple records. Like he's trying to like DJ Khaled it, right? Like he wants to contribute to hip hop in some way, but he doesn't like write a lot of hip hop music. He doesn't make beats or anything. So this is his way of contributing to hip hop. He does interviews and things like that, but he is paying artists to get on tracks. He's buying features, buying beats, combining them all together, going to the studio, mixing them down and putting out tracks. Well, he had a couple empty verse spots. And since I sent him those songs, he's like, oh, you're making music again. Get on this track, get on this track, get on this track. So I got on a couple, I wrote a few songs and I have fun with it, you know? And then at that point he was like, well, we're doing a show out here in Des Moines, come check it out. And I was like, all right. So Dylan and I drove out there and we did a show and it was a blast. And I was like, dude, let's do more. Like once you get off stage, you're like, I'm doing this forever. You know what I mean? So
it's like reigniting the flame.
Yeah. So we did a couple, but now it's been a while. So like, I'm not my heart's not in it. Like I don't have the same passion that I did. Like I love to write music. Like it's a great way for me to put my thoughts out there and everything, but I don't, like when I record it, it doesn't sound good because I don't have like the
vocal cords.
Yeah. Like I'm not seasoned at the moment. So like, it doesn't sound good when I record music, and when it doesn't sound good, I hear it and I'm like, it's this shit. So
that's been my biggest struggle getting back into it, especially since like for some reason, probably because it's more of the music I listen to now, but like, I was like, I'm going to get melodic. I'm just going to fucking start singing a little bit and like do my thing. And it's like, sometimes I record, like there's versions I've sent to Castro and Fraley that I'm like, this is horrible, right? They're like, don't do that. It's
been a long time coming. Hey,
yeah,
I jam that shit every day. It's on my playlist, bro.
Hell yeah, that's what I like to hear. I feel like it turns on. It's that is officially my most slept on album of my entire life.
Absolutely, bro. Absolutely. And I got your very first album. I got the first, the second, the third. I got all of them.
Yeah.
And this one, fire emoji.
This EP is about to be crazy too. It's five songs, all produced by Casher, and he's not helping me mix it. Like I'm doing the mixing, but he's basically mastering it.
Nice.
So it's gonna get that Casher touch to it, and he's already helped me a lot with like the rewriting melodies. And he's like, "You're not a singer, so like don't go a like just be like a and then echo."
Casher's
like,
a genius, bro.
He is
a musical genius. I love him to death, dude, man. Like we have the people that I met like making music are some of the smartest musicians in the world. I have a firm belief of that. And it's not just because I know them and what, but like I think like you, Dylan, Kat, like you guys are the pinnacle of fucking musicians, man. Like for real. Wow. And I truly believe that. And I discover people all the time that I think, man, that person's dope. But like I put their music next to your guys' music and I'm like, no, it doesn't compare. Like it's so, I don't know. I don't even know how to explain. And it's not, like I said, not just because I know you guys or whatever, but it's like legit. I'm a fan for real.
Yeah, that's true. You always have been like a fan too, like while you've also been like my brother through it, like
absolutely.
And that is crazy, man. Like I've been I think what was that, my sixth album? Let's go through them. The first one was Commercial Break.
Yes, Commercial Break.
Struggles of a Writer.
Uh-huh. Struggles of a Writer. Then
I Love Hip Hop.
No. We're missing one. What was the album with the
Insubordination?
Yeah. That was the first one. Insubordinate. That was the first one.
Yeah, it was. Yep. And then Commercial Break, and then Struggles of a Writer. And then I Love Hip Hop was next.
There's another one in there. Your album covers like a gravestone.
That's a Commercial Break, and you made that album cover.
No. I made I Love Hip Hop.
No, you made commercial break too, bro. I'm telling you.
No,
it has a TV and a graveyard and like it's.
No, that's not the one I'm talking about. It's like a cross gravestone with like ATAC in red, and there's like blood coming out of it.
Oh, that's not commercial break. What is
no, that? Bro, it's not.
All right, so there's a fourth album we're not knowing there. So we have Insubordinate. I feel like it might have been that, but it wasn't called Insubordinate. I know there was a song on there, Insubordinate, by and Always Breaking the Rules. How do I remember? Oh my god.
Yeah.
How do I remember that, dude? That's crazy. I don't think that was the name of the album.
That was.
It was?
Yeah.
Okay.
Insubordinate was the first album.
So I released four albums by the time I was 18. And then 2010 was I Love Hip Hop. And then a massive break from solo albums, at least until 2016.
Right, because you had You're Welcome, You're Welcome 2 in there.
And then now You're Welcome 2.5, You're Welcome 3.
Yep.
It's damn. I'm up to like 10 total. It was like, damn, yeah. That's crazy.
I actually have a spot in my desk that has one copy of every one of those albums.
That's crazy. Yeah. So I hope to make that worth like millions for you someday.
Hey man, it is worth it to me. I'm never selling that shit. Like I'm like, you want a copy? Go find one.
Hodl for life.
Yeah.
It's my first version of an NFT.
Yeah, a CD is like an NFT, man.
Big facts. If you can like keep
I got hey man, one of them CDs got a fucking autograph on it.
That is true. I think it was I don't even know which one. Probably I Love Hip Hop because I was just out in Wyoming right around when that came out.
That sounds right.
Man, like that. See, this is what I mean. Like I'm so my next EP that I'm releasing next year, April 26th, I'm trying my hardest to make it an NFT project. And I want to use the funding for the NFT to go on tour. Because I feel like it's the only thing I've never done in my music career that I would like. I look back and I'm like, damn. I mean, I performed a lot of shows. You could call it a local tour if you want, but I just want to do like 10 cities, you know, 10 That'd to 15 cool. cities, bring cool. my friends along, whoever can make it like artist wise, and then see what artists I know in each city. Like I'd probably go to like the 10 to 15 cities that I know the most artists in that can like help me sell tickets to break even. And then I don't care about anything but breaking even and then making money. You know what I mean? Like, because it's not about that. It's just the experience. And the amount of content we're going to get from it is going to be crazy, too.
Wait, I'm going to pause this conversation real quick. How many people you got watching on the stream?
Just four right now.
Four. Now we need more. Everybody that's in here, grab somebody. We need to bump these numbers up. We try and make affiliate tonight. I'm trying to be the one on the episode when we hit affiliate. When he hits affiliate, I'm going to be the one on the episode. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Find people or... open it up on your cell phone and your laptop. I don't care.
Yeah, if you go into your Twitch and you go to your Twitch channel and hit the chat, you can hit /host. So like it'll look like I'm going to space it out just in case it accidentally like fucks me up. But there's no space between /host. So if you post that message on... Oh, I didn't post it on Twitch, but there's a /in front of there. So /host, what did Adam say, with a space in between /host, it'll actually show it to anybody that's like following you, even if you only have like four people. Yeah. Sometimes it gets people in there. And
let's do that. We need a couple more people in here. We should hit 10 today, I think. Let's hit 10, guys.
We did earlier. Like there was 10 people in here and then
let's
people
keep
coming 10
on. In here. 10
I know.
Average. We want to see 10. For those of y'all that don't know, I'm about to reveal a secret. This is some bromance shit, but Adam and I have matching tattoos.
Yeah.
Well, I'm matching, but matching.
Yeah. That one. I mean, mine's
back,
faded but... and shit now, but it says Addicts in there. And yeah. Addicts Records was like our record label, basically online. And
back, so I'm not going to show you guys.
Yeah. He's like, I'm not going to take off my shirt. This motherfucker was so crazy back in the day that I made a rap group with like two and me and my OGs. Like my OGs, like they taught me so much about the game, and it was called MPS, Mass Poet Society. And this dude was like, I like that. Get it tatted on.
You know it, bro. I've been a fan.
I love it, bro. I appreciate it too, because it's definitely been a long journey. I mean, like, you've seen me go through it all. I feel like, man, like, where I was at when I was a kid and where you were at, even, like, we were at so much different places, and to see us come from, like, out of our darkness, you know, like, when you were in Job Corps and shit, like, you just didn't seem happy, and you were just, bro, and to see us come out of that is, like, it's ridiculously amazing, dude. I can't even believe it.
It's been a long journey. I was telling somebody that the other day, and I was just like, they said something about how it's weird to, like, meet people on the internet. And I was like, yo, one of my best friends in life I met on the internet.
Yeah.
All the way across the country. Yep. No reason to ever be in Wyoming. Me, no reason to ever be in Massachusetts. We met each other on the internet and have both seen each other's homes. Like, we've done some crazy shit. Like, the internet's crazy, man. Like, don't tell me, like,
yo, I still remember the first time when you flew out. I'm not gonna say why, but you flew out and you're just like, yo, I need to stay at your crib. And I hit up my mom. So, yo, this is how close we were. My mom had Skyped with him. I had Skyped with his parents. Like, and like, he would take me in Skype and go on the rooftop of, like, the apartment where he lived and show me the town, the small town in Wyoming that he lived and shit. Mm-hmm. And then, like, we finally met and I go to pick up this dude from the airport. And I see him and I'm thinking, it's going to be like, is it going to be awkward? Like, what's going to happen? And it was just like, oh, what's up, bro? Like, you're just like, I haven't seen you in a few weeks. Like, that's what it felt like.
Yeah.
It was like the easiest thing ever. And then
your mom rented us a car, right?
Yep. Yep. My mom literally rented us a car so we can go around. Like, I was like, ma, and I explained the situation to her. She's like, oh my God. Yeah. Like, my mom, I forgot about that, man. Like, I think, growing up when you're a kid, like, it's easy to remember the bad things your parents did for you, but it's nice to remember those little things that, like, oh shit, like, your friend who I know you love and care for a lot is in danger a little bit here. Like, let's here go do your thing. And she probably didn't want our wild asses in the house the whole time. I mean,
that's exactly, that's probably true, man. We've been cooped up in there. I remember we played basketball in your driveway. We went and kicked it with your cousin. Like, we did all types of shit, man.
We won a beer pong tournament.
Yeah, we did. What was that bar?
It was a bar on Nantasket Beach. I forget the name of it, but it's changed a few times, I think, since then. But I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember we fucking ran table on beer pong. Like, we never played with each other ever.
Yeah.
And fucking ran table. And I wasn't even really drinking heavy because I had to drive. And I was like, dude, I'm not wrecking this fucking rental. Even though, remember, they were like, you could bring this back in a box and it'll be okay.
Yeah. I was drinking heavy.
Yeah. Yeah. We drank when we got back to the crib. But
yeah. Yeah. I drank heavy for many years there.
Yeah, dude. Same. Especially Wyoming years.
By the time you moved out there, I was full on wilding.
Yeah, you were.
I was full on wilding.
And I just was like, word, that's what we're about. Let's get it.
Yeah, there was no chill there whatsoever. None.
Like, bro, we would literally, first of all, guys, this we would call Coca-Cola, not cocaine, Dark Chaser. So we wouldn't call it Coca-Cola or a soda. We'd say, hey, grab me the Dark Chaser. And if it was Sprite, it was Clear Chaser.
Yeah. It was like whatever. Yeah, even if it was to drink just a glass of soda, it was like.
And it was like this, y'all. Rum. Glug 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 glug. Dark Chaser. Glug glug glug.
That was bad, bro. It was bad.
We would, like, finish bottles and then wake up to new ones. What was it? Admiral Nelson? Is that the name of the?
Yeah, because that was the stuff you could get for $6 a bottle.
I haven't thought about how to. What, dude? Brains are crazy.
Compartmentalize information.
Dude, I didn't remember, like, three things that have happened tonight that we've talked about. That's fucking crazy.
Admiral Nelson. We have a song on YouTube, actually. Somebody says, I'm trying to kick it. And somebody in the background says, yeah, Admiral or something.
Yeah, grab me that Addie Nelson.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Yeah, I was full on wild. And, like, we would, like, I'd, like, wake up with, like, kegs in the living room. Like, where did this keg come from?
Yep. Literally, like, it was, and there was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, like, 7 people living in there.
Yeah.
Oh my God, dude.
Yeah.
Fucking A. That was
well, there was really only three people living there, live on the lease.
Yeah,
on the lease. But yeah, we had a lot of people there for sure.
It's a miracle, bro. I think about that every day. Like, I don't have an arrest record.
I do, but not a big one.
Not one like we could have allegedly had.
Right, that I never would have had, because even the stuff that I did wasn't my fault.
Yeah, it was someone else. Other guy's fault.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's nuts, right? Because I think to this, right? Those times got me into cannabis in a different kind of way.
Oh, yeah.
And then when I moved back to Massachusetts, I got deeper. I found friends that were like already making dabs in 2012 and fucking, basically it was sketchy shit, and like literally blowing things of butane into a big glass thing with making a fan mess. Running and blowing out of the fucking, it was horrible, like horrible. But because of that, it's kind of caused everything that's been happening, because it's like,
yeah, well, everything's a part of the story, right? I mean, you could go back further and be like, oh, because of rap that I met this guy, that we did this, that I did this. I mean, like, you could go back even before that and be like, oh, because of my dad, that's why I got into rap. That's why I got it. I mean, it's all a part of the story.
Yeah. It's just mind blowing, bro. Like how life connects like that. And when I feel like truly grateful that like nothing bad has really happened. Like bad things have happened, but like,
yeah.
I could have been locked up for 5 to 10 years. I could have been caught on.
You could be Terrence, bro.
Yeah, bro. Is he still in?
Yeah. He got out a couple times. He's back in, but. Nah, he might be out right now, though, actually. I don't know.
It was crazy seeing
Eddie got out. He's doing good, man.
Yeah, Eddie looks good, too, man. He looks fucking great. Motherfucker's looking swole as a motherfucker.
Come on, Swole Patrol, man. What's
somehow being in jail made him more handsome, like he didn't already need it. Like he didn't need that shit, bro.
Come on, man. He's going to watch this and say I'm hating because I'm always hating on him.
I know. I see you guys all the time still. Yeah,
but I don't hate on him. It's just the difference. It's love. It's not really hate, because I don't hate on him behind his back, only to his face. I mean, I'm hating on him here, but in public. Like if he, Eddie, you know I love you, dog.
Man, I can't wait to like get everything popping, and like maybe even, you know, if I can get this NFT to pop, like next year I can go on tour, because obviously Wyoming's a spot. And are you staying out in Sharon still?
Yeah, that's where I'm at. I'm in Laramie right now, but
but
I'm in Sheridan, but little known secret, I haven't let it out yet, but I'm joining the army.
Didn't you already do that?
Yeah, I'm doing it again.
Wait, are you really?
Yeah.
Oh, damn. I thought you were kidding.
Nah, that's for real.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. A couple years, I think. I'm going to do like 4 years maybe. If I might decide to do more later, but, you know, like I'm going to start out there, do four, spread my wings a little bit, get out, meet some people, do some things, travel around. And it'll be fun. I'm gonna go learn about IT stuff. They're gonna train me IT.
Do you think you'll get like deployed overseas and shit?
I don't know. If I do, it doesn't matter. But I mean,
that's crazy.
It is what it is. If it happens, when you go in, you got to know that's a possibility.
Yeah, that's facts.
Yeah,
bro. Wow, I was not expecting that at all. I thought you were
nobody
gonna be
is.
Like,
I haven't told anybody yet. Really, I mean, like. You know, my parents
are gonna be like, I'm gonna move to Massachusetts, and
hey, I might get stationed out there. I think they got a base out there.
Yeah, they do for sure. They have a base where my nana and grandpa are buried.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's dope. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where they're gonna put me. I got a lot of training to do, another like 8 months or so, but I got to finish up my contract with the college, so I got one more semester there, and it's gonna be a journey for sure, man.
I know we're not old, but what is the age limit?
33.
Oh, all right.
I'm right there. I'll be 32 in March.
Yep.
You'll be 32 in March.
Yeah, we're a week apart, right?
Exactly. Yeah, you're a week older than me. Must be. Your birthday must be the 19th. No, 18th.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Mine's 25th.
Yep.
Yeah.
Can't ever forget that shit. No, right? It's ingrained in my brain.
Yeah.
That's another thing that's crazy, is just like that type of shit. Like, I don't know. The more I think about life lately, it's like people tell me I shouldn't think this way. Like when I think about like the Bitcoin thing, and then like I could have bought Ethereum for 300 last year, and they're like, it sounds like you regret things. I was like, no, I just think it's fucking crazy. Like all this stuff that's happened to me, I've potentially had the chance to be a millionaire already.
A couple times.
Yeah. Like if we would have just kept going with what we were doing back then, if we would just didn't get caught, we would have been there with all our rapping and everything.
Serendipity. Sorry, not to cut you off. I don't know if you're still watching, but I followed you back. All right. I got a follow for follow out here. I told you this is my personal account. So you want to follow me, I'm going to give you one too.
Hell yeah. Wait, what is this? Somebody tagging me. Oh, fucking
retweet.
Retweeting. I know. I've had to like relearn what Twitter is. And now I'm just.
Twitter's
like,
dope, dude.
It is fire. I hated on it for no reason.
Yeah. I love like Twitter. It's to me, it's less like personal. Like on Facebook, you got family and people you know, and it's all fucking politics, and this person's got a problem with their mom, and this person's got fuck out of here with that. You know, I don't want it. So I don't do Facebook. YouTube's dope. You don't follow anybody. It's not the same. It's not really social media.
Yeah.
Reddit's cool if you follow the right shit. If you don't follow the right shit, Reddit sucks.
Yep.
Twitter is dope. You can follow like people who you're interested in the content they create, and they don't have to follow you, know you, or anything. You're just like, look, I like what you're doing. It's not even like a click, like I'm a supporter. We're not friends. Like, I just want to watch what you do and keep up on it. Like battle rappers that don't know me, give a fuck about me. I'm cool with that. I just want to know when you drop a battle. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, it's cool.
I'm going to force you to make a song. That's what I think I'm going to do. Like,
you send me a hot enough beat, I might do it. I'm liable to fuck around and just do it.
Man, I need to get Casher. Casher uploaded like mad beats, and then he ran out of room on his Google Drive and deleted them all. And I was like, motherfuck. And I like sent him a whole, I created a folder on my drive. I was like, put it on there. I always have space. If I run out of space, I just buy more. Like,
yeah, exactly. Space is cheap.
It's like $5 for like 200 gigs. Like, come on.
Yeah, come on, bro. Casher's so like good. That, man. He's so creative that he can make 100 beats and delete 100 beats. He don't give a shit.
Literally, it's
I'm like, yo, if I made 100 beats, I gotta write 100 songs.
Yeah, I'm gonna cherish them beats
otherwise.
And he sold them for like a $20 beat pack or something like that.
Yeah,
he just was like, here, I'm only gonna sell 100 of these. Here you go, guys.
He's wild, bro. You guys have been friends forever.
Yeah, just actually, you know what? I think we were friends first,
you and me.
Yeah, because I wasn't friends with Casher until like 2005. Like, I had beef with him, if you remember. We actually
I was gonna say distract. I remember actually there was some beef. You had a beef with a couple people, Daggermouth.
Everybody.
Yeah.
The you remember Daggermouth?
I was like, bro, I will kill you for real.
I remember that you messaged him like, bro, that little live show you're having, don't make me come shoot that shit on like some crazy shit like that.
I will kill you for real, bro.
And then they stopped fucking with me for a little bit. They're like, oh wow, this dude's surrounded by psychotic people.
Yeah, I was like, he's like, ah, bro, you're fucking 15 years old. What are you going to do? I was like, bro, you know, I was like, this was back with webcams and shit. I live chatted him. Did I ever tell you this? And I pulled out my 45 and was like, I own a fucking gun. I will come to where you're at, bro.
Yeah, because you don't know where you're at.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm out here in Wyoming where we are allowed to have that shit. I've been shooting guns since I could fucking walk, dude.
Yeah, bro. I miss that about Wyoming, is that freedom. You know, like you could kind of do whatever you want. The speed limits are like 80 on the highway. They used to be no speed limits when I first started talking to you.
Yeah, yeah. Back then they had the speed limit was safe and prudent, which just
means. Oh, man. I used to.
Prudent means fast, right? And safe means safe. So if the speed limit is safe and prudent, that just means like get where you're going, but don't be a dick.
Like the amount of times we're driving on the highway while it's 6 inches of snow on it and going fucking 70.
Bro, I live that. I do that all the time. Yeah. This shit don't scare me a bit. Now, rain, I can't drive in rain, bro.
Really?
Yeah, I'm terrible in rain because we don't rain enough here. If it's if there's precipitation coming from the sky, it's too cold and it's snow. So it doesn't rain very much. So when it rains, I'm like, oh, what do I do? But snow, melting. I live that. Yeah, I live that, dude. We go up snowboarding and I'm going 80 miles an hour up the mountain in sheet of ice. And people are like, the people that live here are just like, yeah, cool, let's get there. But if I bring someone snowboarding that isn't from here, they're like, why are we going so fast? I'm like, dude, we got to get there when they open.
I like the voice. Why are we going so
why
fast?
Why are we going so fast? That's what they do, it. Man. But you remember that goddamn hoopty that I had and I cut the roof off of?
Yep.
Oh, that's what we picked you up in from the airport when you came out to Wyoming, and we went to a Hobson show, and we had a gang of motherfuckers in that car.
Yep.
Gang, a whole gang.
You, Dylan, Eddie, Megan. Stein, Megan, me. I think there's one more that I'm missing.
Yeah, there is. Who was it? Because we had somebody riding in the trunk the whole way.
That was Stein.
Well, we switched off. I wrecked the car when they pulled me out of the trunk because I drank two fists of Captain while I was in the trunk.
Yeah, and some other stuff.
Yeah. No, that was them. That was
everybody. Oh. That yeah, everybody's weird. There's people in the car fucking doing mushrooms while they're driving.
Yeah, like, that was everybody and else.
They're coming to pick me up, guys, from the airport.
We did pick you up.
You did, a little late, but yeah. You're
well,
like,
it's we had a run-in with the police.
He's like, I can explain. And then fucking there's just a bag sitting in his fucking lap. He's like, we got pulled over. I don't know how we got away. We're here now. Like, we're going to a hotel.
We went to the Hobson show. You picked a fight with some chick and some guy.
Listen, I did not pick a fight. We were just
picked a fight with you.
She did. We were being wild though, like, and we were because it was a wild show. Everybody was being wild, and I kept bumping into her. But every time I bumped into her, I was like, "I'm sorry, 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 sorry." And then one time she's like, "Next time you do, I'm gonna fucking punch you in the face." And then it happened again. I'm like, "So sorry." And I remember looking at her like, and then I looked at her boyfriend like, "Okay, so now what?" And he's just looking at me like this. Because you and everybody from the group, because then those seven people that were in the car, we then met up with a group of like five people.
Yeah.
And we're going into the show like 12 deep, and fucking this chick hits me in the face, and all of a sudden her boyfriend timidly walks up like he does not want anything to do with this. And I'm like, what the fuck? I don't even remember what
turns
was
around
said.
And just like, yeah,
I don't remember what was said at all, but they left.
I remember it was very short-lived.
Yeah, very short-lived.
Like, I think he was like, all right, come on, baby, let's go.
Yeah, let's go to a different section.
Yeah.
I think it was just something like, dude, you're in the fucking front row of a wild-ass concert. You expect not to get bumped into and punch people in the face.
Like,
what the fuck is wrong with
her?
You?
People were bumping you, and then you bumped her. Like, it's not like you were like, bump.
Yeah, like, fuck you, bump. Like, no, yeah. We were, me and you.
But, we were all bumping.
You guys, these motherfuckers picked me up and threw me on stage.
Yes, we did.
And Hobson, like, thought I was attacking him. Like, he didn't see who I was. Like, he just was, and I'm like, sorry, sorry, sorry. And I got down, like, security's starting to rush at me and shit. I'm like, because he was like, we had to get somebody to freestyle. And these motherfuckers picked me up and threw me on stage.
Oh, one sec. I'm getting messages.
It's all good. They're like, come eat.
They are.
I knew it.
That was 27 minutes ago.
Oh shit.
But I got other messages too, but like, yeah, anyway, yeah, dude, that was fun. And then like I said, Stein was snorting random powder off a table. Like, he was like, oh, there's powder here. I was like, what are you
like, dude, that could be Parmesan cheese. You don't even know.
Stein's funny, man. I love Stein because he is crazy. He's, by the way, grown up a ton as well.
Oh yeah.
He got two little girls now. He's like way calm, but like he matched whatever energy we had all the time, man. I love that 10. Dude, like my little brother, man. When I met him, he was not doing well, and I did what I could to help him out, and he flourished with that. The dude has a grind that is unmatched by anybody that I know, and you know, present company excluded. And yeah, man, he's a ace in the hole for anybody that, that can channel him to do what he needs him to do for sure. But at that time, he's snorting powder off of like random powder, like table. We weren't sitting here. There's powder. And he's like, what's this? And I'm like, bro, what are you doing? Like, I'm wild. You're wild. I get it. But like, no, we don't.
Times 10. Everything he did was times 10.
Yeah. I'm like, bro, that might be Viagra or fucking anthrax. Like, you don't know. He's like,
oh, it literally could be somebody's dandruff. Just like, you know
what yeah, I mean? Yeah, literally could be like fucking dried sperm that somebody chopped up. Like, it wasn't, I'm sure.
Yeah. But. Yeah. It was something because he was always on one back then.
Yeah.
Those were good times, though, man. And that's another thing, like, moving out there, like, as wild as everything was and as reckless as we all kind of were, it was like we stayed at a place called the Boston Commons. And you guys didn't even realize it was called the Boston Commons until I got there. You're like, oh, yeah, we stay at this place called the Commons. And then I get there. I'm like, bro, why didn't you ever tell me this is Boston? You're like, oh, yeah. Didn't even know.
We were like regulars there, bro.
Yeah, like... That's what I mean. Like we didn't have a routine, but like,
but yeah, we were around.
There's no way we weren't being watched. I mean, obviously we were. We saw.
I don't know. It doesn't matter to me. We didn't do anything that bad.
Nah, not comparatively. Like,
yeah. I mean,
I always.
We were wild for sure. We were unhinged. But
when I personally, just speaking for me, would go, I'd get some weed in Colorado and stuff, you know, because the weed in Colorado was crazy back then, and it still is fucking crazy.
Colorado's and a different place, man.
It really is. It's the best weed in the U.S. at least. I can't say the world because I haven't traveled the world, but I've tried Cali weed. I've tried BC, like British Columbia. I've tried East Coast weed.
Yeah,
Colorado just steps above, but like it was different times back then. I mean, is Wyoming still illegal?
I think so. I don't smoke, so I don't know, but
yeah,
think it is.
What the fuck, dude? Like, yeah. So back then when you could go to prison for like 3 years for a roach,
still can.
I was fucking just being reckless with the amount of weight I would take.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, we were unhinged for sure. I mean, yeah. If you look in the grand scheme of morals, it's not, nothing we did was terrible.
No, nah, just weed.
But we were wild for sure. Kids, we were kids.
Yeah.
And kids that did whatever we wanted, because apparently the world was our oyster.
It was, man.
Yeah, it was fun. We did some stuff. We would go eat at really expensive places like Earl's and be wild and
fucking $600 lunches and shit.
Yeah, do champagne cork dodgeball and spray champagne around hotel rooms. Like, I don't know. It was fun for sure. We did nothing too crazy.
Maybe that time we I think that was actually, what was the place you just named that we went to?
Earl's.
Earl's, yeah, when we fucking pranked the waitress and then manager.
Oh yeah, where we told her we didn't have the money to pay for lunch.
It was my idea. I was like, hey guys, what if we tell her we don't have enough money for this? Because we're like, we all got brand new phones. But
didn't
new
they
clothes.
Say we had to, they weren't gonna seat us because we didn't have collared shirts on?
Yep.
They wouldn't seat us in the restaurant. They were like, no, sorry, you guys can't eat here. And we were like, what? And we gave the host $100 or something.
Yeah, I forgot what we did.
And then they set up the table.
I think Eddie.
Yeah, probably. And didn't they put like a little partition around us or something?
They like cornered us off like away
from. Yeah, set us in the corner. I don't remember. They did something.
And then we had a big ticket. And then she came over and I was like, hey, can you come here for a second? And I killed the acting job.
You were the only person that could have done it, because I was like,
I was like, hey, I wasn't expecting it to be this much. She's like, how much did you think it would be? I was like, I don't know, like 200. She's like, the bottle you ordered was 300. I was like,
yeah. Which, oh, by the way, was? So you guys know, this place was so expensive they didn't even have prices on their menu. Like,
no, we had no clue. We just didn't care.
Yeah.
And so she's like she literally like looked like she saw a ghost. She turned did. White, like, oh my god, I'm fucked. And I knew we shouldn't let these kids in. Like, I guarantee you she was thinking that.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And then it was quick when she said, like, oh my god, hey, what are you, really? And I was like, I like grabbed her. I'm like, I'm so sorry. I'm just kidding.
You didn't. Oh yeah. But then she was like, can we play this prank on my manager too?
Yep. And then I did it.
So
to
then
him
we were
too.
Like, okay, back into serious mode. No, we don't have enough money. So then she went and got her manager and he came up. What did he say? Did he ask us if we were going to wash dishes?
he said something, and he was like, "Oh, we could work something out." And he was looking down at all our phones on the table.
Oh yeah, that's right. He looked at our shoes and our phones. Like he was like, like he was like trying to like figure out what we could give up.
Yeah, he's like, money. He sees us in like True Religion shit. Like,
yeah, he's like, "What you got worth money over here? You got phones, you got shoes." He's like, "Yeah, we could work something out over here." And then he's like, yeah. "We're like, we're just kidding." And he was like, "Oh my God, are you serious?"
Yeah. Yeah, we got him so good, and the waitress was so happy that we got him. Like,
they did it to me too.
For all the hating I do on Eddie, I think we bet him that he couldn't get the waitress's number, and he did, and he texted her all the way back to Wyoming.
Yep.
Fucking guy, man.
Yep. I'm telling you, he's just too good looking. It's easy.
He's smooth. That's what he is. He's smooth. He's got this like docile, innocent look in his eyes, but he's a beast. Bro. He looks like he's like, "More bread, please, sir."
Oh, he does. He does. He has like kind eyes. Like you just look at him like, "Wow, you're
you're what a can sweet I do man. To help this poor soul out?"
He's like, "I will fucking kill you. His friends are making
fun of him. I better give him my number."
Yeah, literally. Yeah. Literally, dude. Like, he's the best looking one out of all of us, and we're making fun of him for being too ugly to get her number or some shit like that. Like,
well, Dylan, I hate you for saying that, bro.
Sorry, Dylan. Too pasty.
Oh yeah, yeah. He's got the he's half Mexican, so he's got the the natural tan.
Yeah. I've been working out again, you know. Getting my swole back up.
I seen that 30 days the other day, huh?
Yeah, I think I'm almost at 40 now.
Yeah, that's legit. I've been doing the same, but I've been working on my cardio more because I'm going to Army, I got run. Yep. So I've been practicing running and stuff, and I'm getting somewhere, man. I run like 4 or 5 miles every day. So, yeah, it's helping. But
damn, 4 or 5 miles.
Yeah,
never done that. I can honestly say that. Even when I was
before starting running, like 30, 40 days ago, whatever it was. I started about the same time you actually did.
That's crazy. Yeah. We're just both like, we got to get strong, shit's going down.
Yeah, I was just like bro, I'm so out of shape.
Yeah, I was. Yeah. Dude, I'm not vegetarian anymore. I don't know if you knew that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's been like 6 months,
that probably helps with the
like crazy, dude. I was like plateaued at like 133 135.
Did you even go vegan for a little while?
When I was vegetarian, I would mostly eat vegan. Like,
yeah, like it was like tried not to eat like cheese and shit.
Yeah, like I limited my dairy as much as possible, and then I just tried to avoid everything else. Like there was just times I wouldn't eat because there wasn't shit available for me. Like I was just like, yeah, cool, whatever. Yeah. Which was cool, like gave me a lot of willpower for a lot of different things. Yeah, like
that'd be tough, man. Especially I'm allergic to so many like fruits and vegetables. I could never be. I mean, I probably could be. There's probably a way to do it if I really was serious, but
now I just do it different, right? So one, I've been fortunate this year. My girl's dad has got two deer. So
when you say your girl, am I current on this?
Yeah, still the same one, still Courtney. Yeah, yeah.
So Courtney, I said, "What's up?"
She's in another room. I can't yell. Baby's sleeping, but
what's up?
But yeah, he's gotten two deer and he had some venison from last year. So we've been eating a lot of venison lately. Although it's been like two, it's been like 2 weeks. He needs to hurry up because, you know, I'm spoiled now.
Around here too. Like, you know, I got friends that hunt or whatever. And when they get freezer full of meat, I'll buy it. Hook me up.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the way to do it if you can. Like, I mean, I don't always have that choice. I go out and somebody's got like I go to a rib and chop house and eat a steak and I'm like, I know where it comes from.
Man, I need to have money when I go to Wyoming because rib and chop is not cheap.
That's not bad anymore, man. They franchised and shit. They got like 4 or 5 restaurants now.
Oh, damn.
Maybe even more than that.
That's crazy. Yeah. And prices go down, just like we were talking about
earlier. I mean, when you buy in bulk, prices go down.
Hell yeah. Well, speaking of food, I don't want to keep you from your food because I don't know. You're probably hungry. It's dinner time there.
I enjoy talking to you 100%, man. Every time. How many people we still watching right now? We got 10?
No, we didn't get 10, but you know,
you still got a few people. Everybody watching all fucking fired.
I think we did it though. I think we did. Yeah. I'll know by the morning.
All right.
and it'll let me know. And that's fucking awesome that it ended up being with you.
I hope it did, man.
So what happens is, right, there's an average of like 2 weeks, and that's what you get. And my one show from 2 weeks ago dropped off today, and then this replaces it. So now that show only averaged 1.7 viewers. This one's going to average probably 4 to 5, and I was already at 2.7. So now with that dropping off, filling it in, I think I'm going to be there.
Cool. So
thank you guys for staying, Sarah. Thank you for always supporting. Spencer, thank you for fucking coming on again. I'll definitely get you on again next year. I'm already booked out to June. That's fucking
good,
crazy.
Man. That's good. I've always said, man, you are a natural at fucking just talking to people, bro. Like, that's why you're such a good salesman, for one. So in your life, you've sold everything. Cell phones, mattresses now, fucking everything. But and you always outsell everybody. So like, it's just because you're a natural at talking. Not only that, you got this like smooth, deep, raspy voice somehow in this tiny little body. Well, it's not tiny no more, but yeah, man. So podcast is a natural fit for you. And I see now you got it all jazzed up with the, are you using like OBS or something?
No, this is all through StreamYard.
Oh, really?
It's such a dope thing because, like, dude, it's so convenient for guests. They're like, oh, do I have to download anything? I'm like, no, just go on the link and press the buttons. You'll figure it out. It's really easy.
StreamYard will stream to, like, what, YouTube, Twitch, and
Facebook, everything. I've been limiting my stream to mostly just Twitch lately and then sharing it everywhere. I'm trying to get everybody into condensed, one place. Yeah,
that makes sense.
Because that's how you grow. And then we grow on this platform, and then we could branch out from there with clips and whatnot on Instagram. I see.
It looks like all your comments are coming in from Twitch. So that makes sense.
Yeah.
Great show, Sarah. Appreciate you. Absolutely. Thank you very much. Adam, always appreciate you, man. I stay caught up on the show. I stay caught up on the music. You know, like I said, I'm a fan. So anytime.
Appreciate you, bro. Always do. Much love. Hope you have a good Christmas, bro.
You too.
And everybody out there, hope y'all have a good Christmas. Happy holidays. Whatever you celebrate, happy that. And as always, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good vibes to you.